Welcome to Room 33. I'm Carl Troutman, your host. As always, thanks for joining me. 96 years ago today, the U.S. Congress enacted the Sedition Act. While it was repealed in December 1920, the act is a reminder of just how vulnerable freedom of speech is. It curtailed speech during war. It punished people for willfully publishing, writing, printing, or uttering language about the flag, military, naval forces, the Constitution, or form of government, which was abusive, scurrilous, profane, or disloyal. If there was mail which met the conditions for prohibited speech, the Postmaster General did not have to deliver it. It also made illegal actions which intent was to hinder the production of materials for prosecuting the war. Talk about giving the government leeway. Well, the environment was World War I, and the U.S. government wanted to make the war effort as successful as possible. Now, there were people who questioned restricting free speech, even in a time of war. They were courageous, and they ought to be remembered. One was a politician, another was a judge. The politician was U.S. Senator Robert La Follette, Sr. of Wisconsin. He said this in Congress on October 6, 1917. I think all men recognize that in time of war, the citizen must surrender some rights for the common good, which he is entitled to enjoy in time of peace. But, sir, the right to control their own government according to constitutional forms is not one of the rights that the citizens of this country are called upon to surrender in time of war. Rather, in time of war, the citizen must be more alert to the preservation of his right to control his government. He must be most watchful of the encroachment of the military upon the civil power. He must beware of those precedents in support of arbitrary action by administrative officials, which, excused on the plea of necessity in wartime, become the fixed rule when the necessity has passed and normal conditions have been restored. More than all, the citizen and his representative in Congress in time of war must maintain his right of free speech. More than in times of peace, it is necessary that the channels for free public discussion of governmental policies shall be open and unclogged. Now, the judge was Oliver Wendell Holmes, an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Here is part of his 1919 dissent in Abrams v. United States. When men have realized that time has upset many fighting faiths, they may come to believe even more than they believe the very foundations of their own conduct, that the ultimate good desired is better reached by free trade in ideas, that the best test of truth is the power of the thought to get itself accepted in the competition of the market, and that truth is the only ground upon which their wishes safely can be carried out. That, at any rate, is the theory of our Constitution. It is an experiment, as all life is an experiment. Every year, if not every day, we have to wager our salvation upon some prophecy based upon imperfect knowledge. While that experiment is part of our system, I think that we should be eternally vigilant against attempts to check the expression of opinions that we loathe and believe to be fraught with death, unless they so imminently threaten immediate interference with the lawful and pressing purposes of the law that an immediate check is required to save the country. Inspiring words for all who believe in freedom of speech, and still relevant today. Thanks for listening, and feel free to follow me on Twitter. I'm at redhead324. This is Carl Troutman, and you're in room 33.